Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing. I ain't gotta worry about nothing. Nothing. I ain't gotta worry about nothing.
In the presence of my enemy.
Nothing. I ain't gotta worry about nothing.
Dear friend, once again, I'm so glad that you are joining me to study the Word of God. Tonight we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning at the 22nd verse. And the Bible says, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands towards heaven. Now, the first thing we see is Solomon standing before the people and he's getting ready to pray. Remember, our series is Prayer is Your Greatest Weapon. We see the posture that he takes. He is not standing there as an arrogant leader in front of them, but he's standing there as a humble servant of the people. His posture is that he spreads his hands up towards heaven. Hallelujah. And we will see that eventually he kneels, because at one point the Bible talks about him getting up. And so he initially starts standing up with his hands spread towards heaven. Eventually, at some point, he does kneel before God. The Bible tells us in verse 23, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee in with all their heart. How should you pray when you pray? Dissect the prayer that Solomon is doing as he leads the people. You will see that he starts with praise. He starts by telling God who he is. He starts by acknowledging the majesty of God. He starts by acknowledging that God is the God of heaven. When we pray, we should not be so self-absorbed that we go right into, you know, saying what we're saying, but we should take a moment and acknowledge God for being the Lord God of the universe. We should acknowledge him for being who he is. And so this is what we see Solomon doing. And he said in 1 Kings 8, verse 23, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Notice that Solomon acknowledged God in a way of saying, God, you keep covenant with those who serve you with all their heart. Now, that is something for us to remember, that God keeps covenant with all those, hallelujah, all those who acknowledge God in their hearts, all those who serve God with all their heart. Verse 24 says, who has kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. We know that David spoke with God, communicated with him, and how David wanted to build a house of worship for God. But God spoke with him and said, listen, you're a man of war. You have shed blood. You will not build this house of worship, but your son will. And so it is that Solomon reminded God of the conversation that he had with David and how this was fulfilled in his lifetime. Verse 25 says, therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And so we see that there is promise, a communication going on with Solomon and God, and how the Lord reminded him about that covenant that he made with David. And here we see Solomon praying to God. He has his hands outstretched. That is his posture. His posture is one of humbleness before God. And he is making reference to the fact that David had a promise, but that promise was fulfilled through Solomon. The Bible tells us, and now, O God of Israel, this is Solomon who is still praying to God, who is still acknowledging our God, King of Kings, Lord of the universe. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. Okay, and we see that the word God, as used in verse 26, is the word Elohim. Verse 27, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. And so Solomon said something that is so real, that is so clear to us, that God is the one who created the universe. And he said to himself, because if you go back a little bit in the years of the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, and you remember the fact that they would walk with the Ark of the Covenant, and how wherever the Ark of the Covenant was, it was just like the presence of God was there. And so we know that even going into that tent where the Ark of the Covenant was, there had to be, you know, a veil in between where it was and where the priest went in. And anyone who went in behind there, behind the veil, they had to be holy. They had to be righteous. And if they were not, they put like a little bell and a string on the priest's leg just in case he died in the presence of God. They could pull him out because nobody could go back there to get him because they would have died. And so we see what Solomon is talking about is how the presence of God cannot be contained in any little area. The presence of God is so powerful. God is so mighty. God is beyond what we can imagine. And so he talked about building this place for God, but realizing that God truly cannot be contained in there. So even if the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, came down at the altar when they went into worship, he realized that he was just seeing what God decided to show them. That, you know, the very essence of God could not be contained in what they were trying to do as far as having a house of worship. But yet he was obedient in building this house of worship. So he declared, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? So in other words, God is everywhere and he's above and beyond the earth. He can communicate with man, but he is not a man. He is God. Says the Bible says in verse 27, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Verse 28, yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. O Lord, my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. So he is talking to God and saying, Lord, please have respect unto the prayer. I'm going to pray a very special prayer to you, O God, on behalf of the people. And Lord, please hear my prayer. I don't know how many times you've prayed to God, dear friend, and you're saying, Lord, please hear my prayer. You know what I have need of. You know whether I'm in need of food and shelter. You know what I'm in need of as far as money to pay school fees or money to, you know, do other things that need to be done for the family. Lord, hear my prayer. And so it is that Solomon is going before God right now, and he is saying, Lord, hear my prayer, as he gets ready to pray on behalf of the people. And in verse 29, it says that thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make towards this place. But here he's going on again. Lord, please hear this prayer. Verse 30, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Now, I want you to note something that was said. It says, and when they shall pray toward this place. You see, it's not just being in the place, but even when they turn their faces towards their home and pray towards where that dwelling place was that was built as a place of worship. Solomon is saying, even if they're in another land, Lord, when they pray, Lord, remember them and forgive them. That is a beautiful prayer that Solomon was praying on behalf of the people, that, Lord, even when they are not in this house of worship, you know, during the pandemic, many people could not go to the house of worship. They had to be in their homes, locked down because of the pandemic. But even when the people are not in the house, Lord, remember their prayer. Even when they cannot make it into the house, Lord, remember their prayer. It was such a special prayer that Solomon prayed on behalf of the people, that, Lord, even when they can't make it in person, Lord, remember their prayer. Look in verse 31. I'm in 1 Kings 8, verse 31. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. Now, you have to understand, back in those days, they made particular vows. And sometimes in their haste, in being angry at people, they made particular vows. And he was saying to God, Solomon was saying to God, if a righteous man gets into a situation with an unrighteous man and somehow he ends up having to make a vow or something like that, he says, Lord, remember the righteous man. Let the wicked be condemned for, you know, forcing them into this situation. And Lord, let the righteous come out still being righteous. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations. Solomon prayed a specific prayer over the children of Israel that the Lord will help the righteous and that he would justify them. Look at verse 33. Then when thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee and confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. Now, I want you to pay careful attention to this. Solomon did not say if the people of Israel sin. He says when they sin. Of course, we know the children of Israel were constantly sinning against God, constantly falling and then having to be redirected over and over. And, dear friend, we are no different from the early Israelites when they kept, you know, turning from God. So many times we get caught up in this and that and sometimes fall. But if you fall, dear friend, get back up again. Don't stay down. Get up. Brush yourself off. Ask God to forgive you and keep on going. Solomon made a point to say that if they make supplication unto you, if you hear them calling on you, Lord, don't turn your back on them. Forgive them. Help them to get back up again. The Bible says in verse 34, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel. So even before they sin, Lord, remember them. You know, someone prayed for you that even before you were born and you found yourself into some of the situations that you're in, someone has already prayed for you that you would repent, that you would turn away from any wicked behaviors, and that you would once again begin to serve God. Solomon prayed for you even before you were born. Yes, he was praying for the children of Israel, but the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are engrafted into that family of God. And so prayers have gone up for you already. Prayers have already been said over your life that if you fall down, you will repent and get back up again. The Bible tells us in verse 35, I'm in 1 Kings 8, verse 35, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. Notice, over and over he says, if they sin, if they sin, if they sin, you know, don't forget them. You know, so many people, when they make a mistake in their Christian walk, they just give up and throw up their hands and decide, instead of turning away from what they're doing, they'll just get deeper into it. But that is not the way to do it, dear friend. If you ever find yourself in a bad predicament, do not just throw up your hands and go deeper into it, but ask God to help you out of it. Ask God to deliver you. Solomon prayed over the children of Israel and said, Lord, if the people sin, and then you decide to punish them by not letting it rain, by giving them a drought, Lord, please hear them when they pray and repent and ask you to send rain. Lord, please send rain. How many of you know that when there's drought in the land, you can pray over the land? God will hear your prayers and he will send rain. The Bible says in verse 37, if there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locusts, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man. Now, I want you to notice that it says by any man. It did not say a particular person dressed in a particular way, wearing a particular thing. It just says whatsoever man, right? And of course, we know man in the Bible a lot of times just refers to mankind, right? But if someone starts praying, God is going to hear. You don't have to have a big title on your name or wearing anything in particular. What you need to do is have a pure heart before God. When you begin to pray, the Bible says whatsoever man. So Solomon was saying, Lord, the priest might be doing wrong, but if the leader is doing wrong and somebody in that congregation begins to call on the name of the Lord and begins to repent on behalf of the people and say, Lord, please forgive our sins, send rain. Lord, please remember that one that is praying. You know, this is such a beautiful prayer that Solomon prayed over the people, that God, please, if anyone starts praying, Lord, hear that prayer. You know, it takes away from you have to be a certain person in the church in order for God to hear your prayer. That is not true. The Bible says whatsoever, whosoever, really. Whosoever person starts praying, God is going to hear your prayer. All right? I like the fact that it says whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, right? The pandemic, COVID-19, whatsoever plague. Come on, call that name. COVID-19 has to leave because we have prayed in the name of Jesus. Whatsoever sickness there be, if there be sickness on your body, whatsoever sickness in the name of Jesus, be healed right now of that sickness. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 38. What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and the spread of his hands towards his house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and do and give to every man according his ways whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. Now, such a beautiful prayer. You know, and when I read that a minute ago, I felt the presence of God. I felt like a sweet smelling, you know, almost like the presence of God just dropped in, and I felt like a sweet smell. Amen. How many of you know that when you have a pure heart and you spread your hands in prayer to God, that God will hear you, he will heal you, and he will just turn things around for you? The Bible tells us in verse 39, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways whose heart thou knowest, right? Because God knows the hearts of all men. So we may not know the next person's heart, but God knows their heart. And so when they begin to repent and call upon the name of the Lord, God will hear and he will answer prayers. It's not up to you to judge another man or a woman's heart. God sees the heart and he knows the individual. God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. Let's look at verse 40. I'm in 1 Kings 8, verse 40. That they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but coming out of a far country for thy name's sake. For they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy outstretched arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house. And so the prayer that Solomon prayed over the children of Israel, it wasn't just for them, but it was also a prayer that if any strangers came and they discovered the Almighty God and they began to worship the one true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if they came into the family of God and began to worship God, he was saying that this prayer was not just for them, but it was also for the stranger that would come, the person that was not born Jewish, but now has decided to embrace the God of Israel, that this prayer was for that person also. The Bible tells us in verse 44, If thy people go out, well, let's go back to 43. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and do according to all that the stranger call it to thee, for that all the people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people of Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle, I'm in verse 44, against their enemy, whichsoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy far or near. Yet still, if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart, and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. Now, isn't that beautiful? Solomon once again says, listen, if someone sins and the enemy comes and carries them away. Of course, we know did in fact happen to the children of Israel when they were taken and carried away to Babylon. But before this all happened, Solomon prayed. He communicated with God. He prayed over the people. He said, Lord, if this in fact happens, and the people are carried away even to a foreign place. And, Lord, you hear them calling on your name. You hear them crying out to you. Lord, remember them. Remember their cause. I want you to know, dear friend, that God has not forgotten your cause. Prayer is your greatest weapon. God has not forgotten your cause. Whatever it is that you are praying about and you're saying, Lord, I have strayed, but God, forgive me. Bring me back to that place of worship. Bring me back to that place of healing. Bring me back to that place of anointing. Lord, anoint me. Anoint me and use me for your glory and for your honor. I want you to know that God will remember your cause. The Bible tells us in verse 50, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee and all their transgressions. Let me say it one more time. And forgive. I'm looking at verse 50. 1 Kings 8, verse 50. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they be thy people, and thine inheritance which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. Now, this prayer that Solomon is praying over the people, it just gets better and better. You know, he said that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant. That means him, you know, Solomon, who's praying, and unto the supplication of thy people, Israel. He's praying on behalf of the people to hearken unto them in all. Can you say all? In all that they call for unto thee. Now, listen. He didn't know what they were going to be crying to God for, but he said, Lord, remember their prayer requests. And I'm saying to God right now, Lord, remember our prayer requests. Solomon prayed over the people that God would remember their prayer requests wherever they are. Whatever part of the world you're in, that God would remember your prayer request. I'm praying for you right now that God would remember your prayer request, that whatever it is in your heart that you're praying for, that God would remember your prayer request, that whatever you have been lamenting about, oh, you have been fasting about, you have been seeking God about, that God would remember your prayer request right now. Don't stop praying, dear friend, because prayer is your greatest weapon. Don't give up, dear friend. Prayer is your greatest weapon. Don't stop what you're doing in seeking God and in helping people and being a blessing to people, because prayer is your greatest weapon. God has great things ahead for you. The Bible tells us in verse 53, for thou didst separate them from among all people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And the Lord God there is the Lord is Jehovah, and the God there is Elohim, Jehovah Elohim. And it was so in verse 54. That when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up toward heaven, to heaven. So when he finished praying all of that, then he got up. But you know what? When he got up from praying, Solomon was still not finished. In verse 55, it says, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying. So now he's not talking to God. He's now blessing the people, right? First, all of that prayer from verse 22 to verse 54, he was talking to God. He was talking to God on behalf of the people. He had his hands outstretched towards God. He was talking to God on behalf of the people. But now he stood up and he's about to speak a blessing over the people. Isn't it wonderful when leaders can speak a blessing over the people instead of chopping them up? I don't know about you, but I have been in some services years ago when the speaker got up, they chopped you up with the things that they said instead of blessing you. Well, this is not what Solomon was about to do. He's not going to chop them up with his words. He's about to bless them. Thank God for leaders who speak a blessing. You know, sometimes you do need to be chastised, but not every Sunday. You know what I mean? So thank God that at this particular time, Solomon was about to speak blessings over the people. The Bible says in verse 56, blessed be the Lord that had given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There had not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Now, he is speaking blessings over the people, but he's praising God at the same time, right? When you stand in front of people, the first thing coming out of your mouth should be a shout of praise unto the Lord. And so this is what Solomon is doing. He is standing there to bless the people, but he is giving praise to God. Look at verse 57. It says, the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our. And let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be near unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter shall require. Now, he has already prayed. Solomon has already prayed to God. But what is he doing now? Now he's trying to build faith in the people, right? He's standing there in front of the people, building up their faith, because now he is declaring what he has already prayed. And let these my words, right? When you speak over people, it should be speaking words of encouragement and words of knowledge unto them. Let these my words where I have made supplication before the Lord. So he's saying, I've already prayed before God. Be near unto the Lord our God day and night. And so he is reaffirming, or he is building up the faith in the people. Now he's declaring, let the words that I have just prayed be near unto the Lord our God. Let God both day and night remember this prayer request, all of the prayer requests that I have just prayed over the people. He says that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times. He is affirming to the people by speaking this, saying, let God remember at all times all the things that I just prayed. So he is once again repeating some things to the people to build their faith. Sometimes you hear something once and you don't really remember it, but when you hear it again, it strengthens what you have already heard. You know, sometimes you listen to a song over and over, or you listen to a sermon over and over, because it is strengthening your faith. And so Solomon stood before the people and he reaffirmed what he said. He wanted God to listen to these prayers running over and over in his ears at all times. Look at verse 60. It says that in 1 Kings 8, verse 60, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. That all the people of the earth, all the people, not just some people, not just a few people, not just one or two, that all the people on the face of the earth. You know, sometimes people wonder why it is that we talk all the time about God, about Jesus, what Jesus has done for us, and they want to know why it is that we must constantly talk about God. We constantly talk about God because God is good, and he is greatly to be praised, and he is the Lord of heaven. and of earth. And so Solomon prayed to God, and now he is talking to the people, and he's declaring before the people that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God. It is declared in the word of God that the Lord is God. He is our God. He has made everything, and we must worship him. There is no other God but our God. It does not matter whether people worship things made with hands. Our God is not made with hands. We worship him because he is our God. Hallelujah. He is our great God. He is above all. The Bible tells us in verse 61, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Hallelujah. Then the Bible says, and the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. Amen. So we see that Solomon reminded the people, it says, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord. Let your heart be perfect with the Lord. What does that mean? That means that once you've accepted God in your life, and of course in the New Testament we talk more about Jesus, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Once you have done that, then ask God to direct your steps. Ask God to teach you how to pray. Ask God to teach you how to fast, how to turn down your plate. Ask God to teach you how to study the Word of God. Once you have surrendered your life to the Lord, what you must do next is to allow God to saturate you with his Word. Allow him to saturate you in prayer. Hallelujah. Allow God to overwhelm you with his presence. Because when you do that, what you struggle with as far as sin is concerned, that struggle will begin to leave you, and it will no longer be a struggle because of the fact that you have allowed God to live in and through you. The struggles that you face will not be real struggles anymore because you're allowing God to live in your life, and you're allowing him to be Lord of your life. You know, the New Testament, Galatians 2, verse 20, it talks about, I'm crucified with Christ, right? Nevertheless, I live, but the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, and I know I didn't quote it exactly this time, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the life that you now live is not your own. You have now surrendered everything into God's hands. And so whatever you do with your life, you allow God to direct you. And when he talks about, when Solomon talked about walking and allowing your heart to be perfect before God, you know, that is what he was talking about, allowing your heart to be focused on God. You know, we focus on so many different things, but God wants us to focus on him, to put him first. Once we put God first in our lives, then everything else in our lives will fall into place. We'll see that God will honor our commitment to him, and God will honor the pureness of heart and the pureness of mind. God will honor you making sacrifices, whatever sacrifices you need to make to serve him, you know. And, of course, there's, unless you're living in a country that where there's lots of persecution, not everyone is making a sacrifice. But if you do have to make some sacrifices, God will honor the sacrifice that you have to make. Amen. The Bible says in verse 61, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. So Solomon encouraged the people to walk before God and to obey God and to keep his statutes. We who are living hundreds of years later, a couple thousands of years later, after Solomon, we have to understand that God is still calling us at this time. He is still calling us to live godly lives. He is still calling us to walk before God and to be holy and to be circumspect. God is still calling us in this time to not get caught up in societal norms and in their behaviors, but to walk according to how God has called us to live decent and clean lives and to understand what the Bible says about biblical families and how we are to live. I want to encourage you, dear friend, prayer is your greatest weapon. Prayer is your greatest weapon. We see that Solomon prayed to God and he prayed over the people, asking God to hear their prayers when they repent, asking God to help them in time of famine, in time of drought, in time of sickness. He prayed over the people. And today I pray over you also, dear friend. I speak a word in your mind. I speak a word in your heart that you would understand that God has called you for such a time as this to walk holy before him, to live a life that's pleasing to him. And if you fall, to get back up again, repent before God, allow God to do great things in your life. Even as we get ready to go, I want to encourage you. You know, there is something that is used with the youth, and I love it. It says, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your feelings. Watch your feelings, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your lifestyle. Watch your lifestyle, it controls your destiny. In the youth programs around the country, they call it the Extended Day Creed. It is a creed to help you to understand that for every action, there is a reaction. For every behavior, there is a consequence. And so I'm going to say it one more time. Watch your thoughts. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your feelings. Watch your feelings. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits. They become your lifestyle. Watch your lifestyle. It controls your destiny. Your lifestyle controls your destiny. You'd be surprised how many people are old and still doing the wrong thing, still living riotous lives instead of clean and holy lives. Dear friend, don't think that it's too late to change. It is not too late. And if you are a young person serving God, don't be discouraged. Continue serving God, because you will grow up to be a great man, a woman of God. Woman of God, keep up the good work. Man of God, keep up the good work. The Lord has heard your prayer. Prayer is your greatest weapon. Prayer is your greatest weapon. As we get ready to go, I want to just play a song for you, Brother Uhart, out of Florida, one of my favorite songs, My God is Real.
Go, but there's one thing.
Dear friend, God is real. He is real in our soul. He is so real. And even when folks don't understand, he is still real. He is very much real. I want you to hear another one. Brother Uhart Blake, Second Chance Ministries, I've Decided. That you have decided to serve the Lord, to serve the Lord. I want you to hear a little bit of Hold On, Brother Uhart. Hold On. Hallelujah. Dear friend, hold on. God is going to make a way for you. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just give you glory and honor and praise. I thank you, Lord God, for each and every one that joined me today in listening to this teaching. I pray, oh God, that you would truly touch, in the name of Jesus, heal those who need to be healed, oh God. set free, God, those who need to be set free by the power of God. I pray, oh God, that you would touch each and every one that's listening right now. Lord God, from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet right now, I pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, move, hallelujah, whatever it is, oh God, that has been a stumbling block, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for deliverance right now. I thank you for strength right now for all those who are listening. Father, strength for the journey, oh God, strength for whatever it is that they need to accomplish in the name of Jesus. Touch right now, Lord God. We, oh God, are forever your servants, oh God. We give you praise for who you are. You are our God. You are our Father. You are our Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. I love to call your name, Jehovah Elohim. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for you are God. Prayer is truly our greatest weapon, oh God, and teach us how to use prayer as our greatest weapon. Lord God, I thank you for each one that studied with me. May they be blessed. Peace of God be with them as we get ready to sign off. God bless each and every one, Lord God, and I just thank you right now for blessing them. Bless them right now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, dear friend. May the shalom, the peace of God be with you as we get ready to go out. Listen to our theme song as we get ready to go out. Nothing. Nothing. And Brother Uhart Blake, Second Chance Ministries. God bless you until we meet again.
I ain't gotta worry about nothing. In the presence of my enemy, I ain't gotta worry about nothing.